नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। So we are going to recite all the prayers of Gajendra, beginning from verse number 2. One by one by one we will recite, and then we will come to the 14th verse. Please recite after me. These are the prayers of Gajendra. We will recite all the prayers from verse number 2 onwards, and then we will come to the 14th verse afterwards. Please go to text number 2. श्री गजेन्द्र उवाच। ॐ नमो भगवते तस्मै यत एतच्चिदात्मकं पुरुषायादिबीजाय परेशायाभिधीमहि यस्मिन्निदं यतश्चेदम् येनेदं जयिदं स्वयं योऽस्मात् परस्माच्च योऽस्मात् परस्माच्च परः तं प्रपद्ये स्वयंभुवम्। नौ इट्स् अ डिफरेंट मीटर् द बिगर् वर्स् यस्वात्मनीदं निजमाययार्पितं क्वचित् विभातं क्वच तत्तिरोहितं अविद्धदृक्साक्ष्युभयं तदीक्षते स आत्ममूलोऽवतु मां परात्परः। कालेन पञ्चत्वमितेषु कृत्स्नशो लोकेषु पालेषु च सर्वहेतुषु तमस्तदासीद्गहनं गभीरं यस्तस्य पारे विराजते विभुः न यस्य देवा ऋषयः पदं विदुः जन्तुः पुनः कोऽर्हति गन्तुमीरितुम् यथा नटस्याकृतिभिर्विचेष्टितो यथा नटस्याकृतिभिर्विचेष्टतो दुरन्त्ययानुक्रमणः समावतु दिदृक्षवो यस्य पदं सुमङ्गलम् विमुक्तसङ्गामुनयः सुसाधवः चरन्त्यलोकव्रतमव्रणं वने भूतात्मभूता सुहृदः समे गतिः na vidyate yasya cha janma karma va na nama rupe guna dosha eva va tathapi lokapyaya sambhavajaya swamaya yatanyanu kalam ruchhati tasmai namah pareshaya brahmanenanta shaktaye arupayorurupaya nama aascharya karmane nama atma pradipaya sakshine paramatmane namo giram viduraya manasaschetasamapi satvena pratilabhyaya naishkarmyena vipaschita namah kaivalyanathaya nirvana sukha samvide namashantaya ghoraya moodhaya gunadharmine nirvisheshaya samyaya namo jnana ghanaya cha kshetrajnaya namastubhyam sarvadhyakshaya sakshine purushayatmamoolaya moola prakritaye namaha sarvendriya gunadrashtre sarva pratyaya hetave asata achhaya yoktaya sada bhasaya te namaha namo namaste kila karanaya nishkaranaya adbhuta karanaya sarvagamamnaya maharnavaya namo pavargaya parayanaya gunarani channa chidushmapaya takshobha visfurjita manasaya naishkarmya bhavena vivarchidagama swayam prakashaya namaskaromi madhrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya swamshena sarvatanu brahmanasi pratita pratyagdrishe bhagavate brihate namaste आत्मात्मा जाप्त गृह वित्त जनेषु सक्तैर् दुष्प्रापणाय गुणसंग विवर्जिताय मुक्तात्मभिः स्वहृदये परिभाविताय ज्ञानात्मने भगवते नमः ईश्वराय यम धर्म कामार्थ विमुक्ति कामा भजन्त इष्टां गतिमाप्नुवन्ति किं चाशिशोरात्यपि देहमव्ययम् करोतु मेदब्रदयो विमोक्षणम् एकांतिनो यस्य न कञ्चनार्थम् वांछन्ति एवै भगवत्प्रपन्नाः अत्यद्भुतं तच्चरितं सुमंगलम् గాయంత ఆనంద సముద్రమగ్నాః తమక్షరం బ్రహ్మ పరంపరేశ తమక్షరం బ్రహ్మ పరంపరేశం అవ్యక్తమాధ్యాత్మిక యోగ గమ్యం అతీంద్రియం సూక్ష్మమివాతి దూరం అనంతమాద్యం పరిపూర్ణమీడే యస్య బ్రహ్మాదయో దేవా వేదాలోకాశ్చరాచరాః నామరూపవిభేదేన ఫలవ్యాచకలయా కృతాః యథార్చిషోగ్నే సవితుర్గవస్తయో నిర్యాంతి సమ్యాంత్యసకృత్ స్వరోచిషః తథాయతోయం గుణసంప్రవాహో బుద్ధిర్మనః కాని శరీర సర్గాః సవైన దేవాసురమర్త్యతిర్యం న స్త్రీ న షండో న పుమాన్ న జంతుః నాయం గుణః కర్మ న సన్న చాసన్ నిషేధశేషో జయతాదశేషః జిజీవిషేనాహమిహాముయాక్యం అంతర్బహిశ్చావృతయో వృతయే భయోన్యా ఇచ్ఛామి కాలేన నయస్య విప్లవస్ తస్యాత్మలోకావరణస్య మోక్షం సోహం విశ్వసృజం విశ్వం అవిశ్వం విశ్వవేదసం విశ్వాత్మానమజం బ్రహ్మ ప్రణతోస్మి పరం పదం యోగరందిత కర్మాణో హృది యోగ విభావితే యోగినోయం ప్రపశ్యంతి యోగేశం తం నతోస్మ్యహం నమో నమస్తుభ్యమసహ్యవేగ శక్తిత్రయాయ అఖిల ధీగుణాయ ప్రపన్న పాలాయ దురంత శక్తయే కదింద్రియాణామనవాప్యవర్త్మనే నాయం నాయం వేదస్వమాత్మానం యచ్చక్త్యాహం ధియాహతం తం దురత్యయమాహాత్మ్యం భగవంతం ఇతోస్మ్యహం. So these are the prayers. So we recited all the prayers of Gajendra from 2 to 29, which constitutes the Gajendra Moksha prayers. And we were in text number 14, I think. So in the previous verses, you will find in every verse, Gajendra speaks some very profound philosophical truth about the Supreme Lord. How in the very beginning verses, Gajendra was speaking about how the Lord is not having a material form, but he has a spiritual form. And how he has no material names, but spiritual names. How he has no material activities, but spiritual activities. And as he proceeded, he went on to say how the Lord is the only sakshi or witness. Many, many pralayas take place. Many srishtis take place. Srishti, pralaya, it goes on in this world. But there is one person who remains above all this waves of srishti and pralaya. That is the Supreme Lord. who is watching everything, who is supervising everything, who is the witness. So, and also he spoke about whether is it really possible to attain the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha. Sattvena pratilabhyaya, he said. By adopting the path of devotional service, it is possible to obtain the Lord. Just like you show an empty land to a man and ask him, can you fill up this land with channa, you know, with banana trees, with mango trees, and all these different things can he produce? If he is not learned in the art of cultivating these things, he will say that nothing is possible in this empty land. But if you take an expert farmer, he knows how to till the land, plow the land with the bulls, and put the seeds and water it and grow it and bring out all the different kinds of things, isn't it? In the same manner, when the impersonalist hears such verses that Lord is very difficult and he cannot be approached, later on one word will come, ivati duram. Ivati duram means, duram means far away. Ati duram means very far away. Iva means he appears he is very far away, but he is not very far away. He is very near also. He is very far away for a fool, for an ignorant man who does not know about how to obtain him. So just like I told you, you take a land, you can say that it is impossible to produce anything in this land for one who has no knowledge. But one who has knowledge, he can produce many things from this land. In the same manner, Lord's personality can be seen, can be obtained by one who knows the art of Bhakti Yoga. So three examples are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is, in the path of Bhakti, we have to do some endeavor. Only then we can see the Lord. Like, you know, you can have a cow, but you have to agitate the milk bag of a cow and milk the milk bag. Then only you can get the milk. Then you heat it in the stove. Then you can have hot milk. After offering to Krishna, you can drink it. Similarly, the bhumi, if somebody gives you a mango seed, you can't eat a mango seed. But you can till the land, put a mango seed, water it, grow it into a big tree. And then you will get hundreds of mangoes from it. Isn't it? Similarly, it is said, if somebody gives you a wood, firewood, and they tell you to cook, you cannot just put the wood and cook over it. What you have to do? You have to put it in a chula, you have to put a fire, you have to blow it, and some smoke will also come. At last you will be able to burn. And you can utilize that. In the same manner, the Lord also is obtainable by a devotee who endeavors through the path of Bhakti Yoga. In Bhakti Yoga there is endeavor also, there is prayer for grace also. It's a combination of two. Our endeavor and Lord's grace. It's a combined thing. So in this way he said, Lord can be obtained. It's possible. So many qualities of the Lord he spoke. Today let us go to the 14th verse. Sarvendriya guna drashtre sarva pratyaya hetave asatachaya yoktaya sadabhasaya te namaha. Please read the translation.
My Lord, you are the observer of all the objectives of the senses. Without your mercy, there is no possibility of solving the problem of doubts. The material world is just like a shadow resembling you. Indeed, one accepts this material world as real because it gives a glimpse of your existence.
See, first he is telling, Sarvendriya guna drashtre. You are actually the seer, he is telling. It's a very deep word. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that Lord is the seer and we are the seen. We should not think when we come to the temple, the deity is standing there and I am seeing it. It, some people think. They think like that. The Murti is standing there and I am seeing it. This is a mundane vision. Spiritual vision is, Lord is seeing me and I am seen by Him. This is the right vision. That's the meaning of Sarvendriya guna drashtre. That is the reason why we say like this. For example, if I have to take this kartal, can the hand see this kartal? Where it is? First, what I have to do? If the hand has to pick up this kartal, what I have to do? Eyes have to see the kartal. Kartal is here. Then my hand will go and pick it up. Isn't it? If the eye is compared to Paramatma and the hand is compared to Jivatma, the Jivatma cannot do anything without Paramatma first seeing an object. Paramatma has to see first and he gives the guidance. Then only Jiva can do this. So who is the first seer? Paramatma. Who is the second seer? Jivatma. Similarly, in this body, we are not the owner of this body. We are the custodian of this body. See, there is a difference between being a owner and a custodian, correct? For example, you purchased a house, you know, paying some 60 lakhs, 50 lakhs, 60 lakhs, then you are owner of a house, isn't it? On the other hand, if you are paying monthly some 8,000-10,000 rupees rent and staying in somebody's place, you are a custodian of the house. So, in this body, are we owner of this body or custodian of this body? Why? Is it not your body? Why we say you are custodian of this body? Anytime it can be taken away, okay? The whole body is not in our control, correct, no? It is given to us at a certain time. It is taken away at a certain time with our permission or without our permission? Without our permission, is it not? And even when we are living in this body, everything is not in our control. We are secondary owner of this body. The primary owner is the super soul. So, this is very important to know. Prabhupada was sitting in America in one loft of ISKCON temple and he said, you see, the one lady has given us this loft to use as ISKCON temple. And the moment we tell her we won't pay the rent, she will tell us to quit. Because we don't own it. We are only renting it. Similarly, in this body, we have paid the rent of our good and bad karma. For which the Lord has rented out this body in which we are residing. So, in this body also, we cannot see many things. We don't know many things. For example, if I ask one of you, sir, how many hairs you have on your head, can you say? I can say I have no hair. But if I ask you how many hairs you have, is it possible? We know, although it is our body only, we don't know how many hairs we have. Correct, no? It's just not possible. If you ask you, how many cells do you have in your body? Is it possible? It's just not possible. Many times we don't even know if there is a mole in your body, you don't know. You have to go and ask your mother, is there any mole in my body? Mother may say, behind your back there is a mole or something. Our knowledge and awareness of our own body is very limited. How many of you remember that your, you know, milk teeth fell away and replaced by another, you know, permanent teeth? How many of you remember? Of course, you must have seen once or twice. All the teeth fell off and they all were replaced. Do you remember every time? You don't remember. But these things are happening in our body. Correct, no? These are happening in our body. You put your food in the mouth, it goes in. And how it is being processed, what portion becomes blood, what becomes stool and urine, we have very little knowledge. Maybe some scientists who have studied about all this tell us, we can't see it. We have very little awareness of our own body. We just cannot. But the Lord is actually called as a witness. He is seeing everything. You ask Lord how many hairs he has on his head. Lord can tell you the count, exact count. How many hairs he has, he can exactly tell you a count. Because his knowledge is complete. There is nothing that he does not know. That is why janmadhyasa yataha anvayat itaratash charteshu abhignyaswarat. Abhignya means who is a complete knower, who knows everything. So he's telling sarvendra gunadrashtre. Oh, my dear Lord, who is the primary seer of everything? Okay, what is the advantage of knowing Lord is the first seer? Can anybody say? What is the advantage in knowing Lord is the seer of everything? He is not only the seer, he is an unblinking seer. Chakshur yasana rishyati, it is said. And he is not only unblinking seer, he is a seer everywhere. His eyes are everywhere and his eyes are unblinking and he is the supreme witness who is always seeing. So, if we can know this fact and be convinced about this fact, it is a fact actually. Once Prabhupada was taking a small boy, Vrindavan Dev, with him to the marketplace. So Vrindavan, small kid, He asked his father, "Papa, when we were at home, there was moon above our head. Now we are in the market. There also the moon is above our head. How is it?" Then Prabhupada told his son, "This is of the super soulless also. Wherever you go, he follows you. One mobile companies, they say that, wherever you go, we follow you. They put a dog, isn't it?" But although they say, they cannot follow us. If you go to Arctica, Antarctica, they can't follow you. But who is the one person who follows you wherever you go? Super soul, isn't it? So the Lord is following us wherever we go, and He's also watching. He's a witness. So by knowing this fact, we can feel protection of the Lord always. Just like the child who is in the eyesight of the mother is always protected. Because the child is taking a knife or something, mother will come and protect immediately. She will snatch the knife away, isn't it? So he is telling, Sarvendriya Gunadrashtre, Sarva Pratyaya Hetave, which means you are the solution to all the doubts, and without whose help one cannot solve all doubts and inabilities. This world is full of doubts and questions by everybody. And different people can solve different doubts that you may have. Certain people will open their hands and say, "Sorry, I don't know." But there is no doubt that Lord cannot clear, it is said. See, there is a saying, Yasmin vijnarte sarvametam vijnatum bhavati, it is said. By knowing Krishna, all the contradictions come to a full stop. For example, one student asked a question, "Can God create a stone which He Himself cannot lift?" Why did he ask this paradoxical question? The meaning of this question is, if you say, yes, God can create anything, then he will ask you, that means God can create a stone which he cannot lift. But that means he has an inability because he cannot lift it, isn't it? Or if you say, no, how can you say God cannot lift a stone? That particular stone God cannot create, if you say. Then he will say, that means God cannot create. So this kind of paradoxical questions are put by logicians in this world, who want to defeat God. Like one logician said, God is nowhere, he said. Another logician said, divide the nowhere into two, God is now here, he said. If you put a line between nowhere, isn't it? So the contradictions are resolved in God. Similarly, this stone question is also resolved. You know, Krishna is trying to lift the sandals of Nanda Maharaj on his head. He's struggling. You can see that picture of Krishna lifting the sandal, very tender body. And then he is unable to lift it, so one part of the question is answered. And then later on Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill when he was a 7-year-old boy, isn't it? So the unliftable mountain he lifted also. And anybody can lift a sandal that he said, "I am unable to lift." So both questions are answered in God. That is how Krishna resolves all the contradictions. Like it is said, God cannot be captured by anybody. Kala Yavana is running behind Krishna. He is unable to capture. But there is one person who captured Krishna. Who is it? Yashoda. So in this way, the contradictions are resolved in Krishna. Like in the Ishopanishad, there is a verse which says, Tat ejati, tannayajati. Tat dure, tadu antike. Tad antarasya, tadu sarvasyasya bahyatah. Lord is inside our heart as Paramatma, outside as Virat Purusha. Lord is nearby as Super Soul and far away in Goloka Vrindavan. And Lord is walking, all other demigods are running, still they are not able to run beyond Him. Is there any of you here, you walk and all your other friends are running and they can't get ahead of you? Is it possible? Amazing, no? Because all your friends have to run in the same place. So that when you are walking, they cannot get ahead of you. So in this way, demigods try to get ahead of Krishna, but no one can get ahead of Him when He walks. Lord walks and does not walk, Ishopanishad says. So in this way, you will find when you come to Krishna consciousness, gradually all your doubts get resolved over a period of time. He is the one who puts a full stop to all our doubts. Sarva pratyaya hetave. Asata chaya yoktaya. He's saying the illusion or maya is like a shadow. Ukta, it is called as a shadow of reality. Sat. Asata chayaya uktaya sad abhasaya te namaha. So he is telling that the Maya is like a shadow, which is very much true. In the Brahma Samhita it is said, you see, chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharti Durga, it is said. The Durga Devi works like a shadow. As Krishna shows the hand, accordingly she acts. The moment Krishna orders her to do something, she will do immediately. Of course, Prabhupada gives the example. In a house, a man receives some guests. Then he turns to kitchen and waves the hand. Then wife makes some tea and some tiffin and brings it for everybody. So in the same manner, Prabhupada said, by the waving of a husband, a wife cooks in the kitchen. Similarly, by waving of Krishna's hand, Maya Devi does all the work in this world. See, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, in the dawn of creation, all the 24 material elements were present. Like beginning with Bhumi Rapo, Analava, you come. And then Man, Buddhi, Ahankar, they were all there. And all the five working senses, five Jnanendriyas, they were all present. Jnanendriyas were present means the presiding devatas of the senses were present. And all the jivas were present also. All the sum total of jivas could not make this universe function. Sometimes people think the jivas are one with God. Some people argue. But millions of jivas were present inside this universe, but they could not do anything until the Paramatma entered into this world. The moment he entered, then the birds started flying, the waves started moving in the ocean. All actions started in this world. So the actions happened when the Lord entered the universe. So that's why he's telling the Lord's direction is required for Maya. She's not independent, although Maya is very, very powerful. See, Maya is also called as a reflection, like a mango tree has a reflection mango in the water. Why Maya is called reflection? Because Maya looks as beautiful as Krishna. In this world, people get fascinated by Maya's pralobhan, by the allurements presented by Maya. But how do you know, Maya is not Krishna? When you suffer, then you understand. Isn't it? Like you see, in this world you will find, like Krishna is all attractive, you say. Maya is also very attractive. But that attraction is the cause of downfall in this world, suffering in this world. You will see that most of the things in this world, like the cocoa chocolate is very attractive. People like to eat. But you eat cocoa chocolate, all your teeth will be gone. Isn't it? It's very tasty, very attractive. So in this way, the Maya presents herself in this world in various ways. She offers so-called pleasure. And the result of that pleasure is suffering. Whereas, if one approaches Krishna, then there is also pleasure. But that pleasure is everlasting. Ananda, Ambudi, Vardhanam, it is said. So he is using two words for Maya in this world. One is Chaya, another word is Abhas, he is telling. So this Abhas requires to be explained. In a dark room, there is no possibility of any light. But sometimes some small boys, what they do, they take a broken mirror and then they reflect the sun in a broken mirror and they send it into a dark room. Any of you have done this? So you all understand what I am saying. So now, when you send like that, the dark room, you know, is having some shine inside because of this mirror reflection. But the mirror reflection is happening because of the presence of sun. Without the sun, can you do that? It's not possible. That's what he is saying. Abhas means, like bhakti abhas means that looks like bhakti, which is not bhakti. Similarly, he is saying sad abhas means that which looks like light, which is not light. The mirror is reflecting some light inside a dark room, but that is not light. Just like jugnu, what do you call jugnu in English? Glowworm. The glowworm is also giving light. It looks like light. Is it enough in the night time to use some glowworms to see your road? You will actually need a moon. Moon can give you light, but the glowworm gives imitation light. Nakali, we say, no? So there is asali, there is nakali. Asali is sat, nakali is asat. But the asat also looks like sat sometimes. So actually this is a very deep phenomenon being explained. Like the cinema actors and actress, they look very beautiful in the camera, in the poster and all. But they say that in the real life they are not so beautiful, they say. Because they put so much of makeup and everything and they put flashlights on their face and they look very beautiful. So And they also give them dubbing sound, dubbing voice behind. They give beauty. They make it look very attractive. And they behave, make them behave like good people. Everything. So in this way, Krishna's six opulences are superimposed in one person in this world, which is nakali, which is made to look like asli. So that's what he's telling, my dear Lord, you are the original, he's telling. That is the 15th verse. Namo namaste kila karanaya nishkaranaya adbhuta karanaya sarvagamamnaya maharnavaya namo pavargaya parayanaya.
My Lord, you are the cause of all causes, but you yourself have no cause. Therefore, you are the wonderful cause of everything. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the shelter of the Vedic knowledge contained in the Shastras, like the Pancharatras and the Vedanta Sutra, which are your representations, and who are the source of the Parampara system. Because it is you who can give liberation, you are the only shelter for all transcendentalists.
Yeah. So he's telling, let me offer my respectful obeisances to you. Namo, namaste, akhila karanaya. I offer my namaskar to that person who is cause of all causes. One Swami was telling, when he went to America, he asked a small boy, do you drink milk? He said, yes. Where does the milk come from? He said, comes from dairy. He said, so he said he has only seen milk packet. So he, Maharaj asked him, this dairy, where do they get milk from? He said, they get packet milk. They sell packeted milk, we get packet milk. That boy didn't know where is the milk coming from. So when you go to the source, you will see it's coming from the cow. So one has to observe that, where does the cow, how is the cow able to produce milk? Because cow is eating grass. How is the grass coming? Because of the rains. Then how are the rains coming? Because of the sun evaporating the water. Now where is the sun coming from? Krishna is saying, Yachakshuresha savita sakala grahanam raja samasta suramurti rashesha teja yasyagnaya brahmati samvritakala chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahmaji is telling, Yachakshuresha, sun is one of the eyes of the Supreme Lord. It's a hot eye. And the moon is cool eye, isn't it? So the hot eye is the cause of the rains in this world, which is producing all the rains, and the rains produce grains, then we eat the grains, and the cow eats the grasses, and it is able to produce milk. So in the same manner, you can see, we are eating grains. Where does it come from? It comes from the rain. Where does the rain come from? Again, the sun. You have to go. And where is the sun coming from? Sun and moon are the two eyes of the Lord, it said. So in this way, he is telling, Namo Namaste Akila Karanaya. In this world, anything you take, it will have a cause. We can go back, you can trace back the cause as the Supreme Lord. And there are wonderful things in this world. You will see that there are innumerable type of species in this world. In African safari, they are coming up with new, sometimes they say that we have found out a monkey which is only 3 inch size or 4 inch size. They are coming to know the Lord's creation in different parts of the world, and they show it in TV. See, scientists can only catch different creatures and name them. Or sometimes they can take some wood from the forest and cut it, and then they can put their stamp, ISI or some rubber stamp they can put. They take things from God and they can name them with some botanical name, and they can put a rubber stamp and claim it to be theirs. Instead of putting some company name, we should say made by God, ideally speaking, in all the products that we take. You will see that the most basic things we consume cannot be created by man. Man cannot create water. Man cannot create blood. Man cannot create grains. Man cannot create air, wind. All these things are created by God. You will see that. So that is why he's saying, you are the Akhila Karanaya. So sometimes people ask a question, hey, why do people worship God? What do they need? You can directly ask them this question. Three things you ask them. Where are you getting this manganese, sulfur, iron, gold, silver, diamond, all these minerals, where are you getting from? Do you make it? You are only taking it from God. Secondly, you can ask them, where are you getting the grains and fruits and cereals and different kinds of spices and everything, isn't it? Thirdly, you can ask, where are you getting the light, where are you getting the rains, where are you getting the wind, all these things, where are you getting from? So we are taking so many things from God, and even after taking and enjoying and using them, people ask a question, what is the need of worshipping God? We will take His property and enjoy, but we will never even turn to Him ever. There was one Jamindar who used to throw saris, t-shirts, pants from the top of his terrace. People would pick it up and wear it and go away. So he told his friends that, you know, so many people pick up whatever I throw and they take it and enjoy it. I sometimes even throw rupee notes also, dollar notes also. Everybody picks it up and they go away. But nobody says a thank you to me, ever. His friend said, tomorrow you throw some stones from the top, he said. So he went to the next day morning top and he threw some stones. Then people looked up, hey, who is that throwing stones? In the same manner, in this world also, people, when there are no suffering, people just take things and enjoy. When suffering come, what they say? Hey God, why are you giving suffering? Isn't it? Otherwise, they don't even look at Him. But here, you find Gajendra is recognizing, Namo Namaste, Akila Karanaya. You are the supreme cause of everything, the ultimate cause of everything. Although a child may say, my mother and father are providing me everything. It's true. But where are they providing from? They are providing from the stores. Where are the stores getting from? They are getting from the fields, farmers in lorries. Where are the farmer getting from the fields? And from the field, how are they able to get? Because God has kept the potency of growing in a seed from which it grows. Isn't it? So if the potency is not kept by Krishna, it's just not possible for anyone to get anything. And then he is saying, Nishkaranaya, you yourself have no cause. Some people foolishly argue. If you say God created everything, who created God? That is why Prabhupada gave the example of the engine. This bogie is pulled by the previous bogie. That bogie is pulled by the previous bogie. And then if you go further and further, finally there is one bogie. What is it? The engine. Who is pulling the engine? Nobody is pulling. So Prabhupada said, Krishna is like that. He said, Anadir, Adir, Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. Engine is like the Sarva Karana Karana for all the other bogies. It has no one to pull it. It pulls itself. Similarly, God is the full stop. That's why he's saying Nishkaranaya. And he's telling Adbhuta Karanaya. You are the wonderful cause of everything. Why he's calling it as wonderful? What is so wonderful? See here. Prabhupada says here. Read the purport. In the 3rd or 4th line, he says, in our experience in the material world, if we have bank balance of $1 million, as we withdraw money from the bank, the balance gradually diminishes until it becomes nil. However, the Supreme Lord is so complete that although innumerable personalities of Godhead expand from Him, He remains the same Supreme Lord. Purnasya Purnamadaya. Therefore, He is wonderful cause. He is telling. This is something amazing, isn't it? The sun is giving sunlight for millions of years. Because the sun is giving us heat. It's giving us light. It is a life source for us. But it never diminishes. It is continuing to exist. So that is adbhutam. That is amazing. That's wonderful. Which is never diminishing. In the same manner, he is telling, you will see in the nature according to season the fruits are produced. What is this season now? Now the summer season is going to come now. You will find all over India, millions of watermelons will be produced in the trees. So at that particular season, you find certain plants start giving out certain fruits in different season. Because, you know, I asked a student, why so many watermelons are coming in summer? He said, because summer, I think the sun is very hot, we are very thirsty, so watermelons are coming. Okay, that is correct reason. But who is sending it? God is sending it at appropriate season, correct? In every season you will find, nowadays, you know, watermelons available throughout the year because they have this cold storage. It's actually not good to drink watermelon in winter season. Sometimes in winter season people are eating ice cream. It's foolishness. God has kept the right fruit in the right month, which is good for us. So you will see, like a mother exactly knows the child, what child should eat. When the child is very small, she will not feed a big chapati into the mouth. She will give some cerealac or you know, some pharynx or something like that, isn't it? When child grows, gradually she will give. Similarly, God also knows in which season I should feed what to my living entities. So in this way, he says that you are adbhuta karanaya. You produce millions of things and there is no kshinata, there is no diminution. It goes on coming. Sarva agama amnaya. He's telling that not only you are giving us food to eat and so that we can eat food and go to sleep. No. You are also giving the Vedas by reading which we can come out of this jail. See, if somebody is in the jail, he should know that when I come out of the jail, where I should go? He has to go to his mother and father, be with them, mother, father, brother, sister, with the family and friends. He can enjoy life. Imagine if somebody is coming out of jail, he doesn't know where to go. So impersonalists are like that only. They want to get rid of this world, but they don't know where to go. And they don't want to strike a relationship with the Lord also. Isn't it? That is why Lord is giving Sarvagam Amnaya. He's telling, take the scriptures. Please all of you repeat this verse. Maya Mukta Jiver Nahi Svata Krishna Jnan Atayeva Kripaya Koile Krishna Veda Puran. So he's saying, Maya Mukta Jiver Nahi Svata Krishna Jnan. The bewildered, the jiva bewildered by Maya does not have knowledge of how to go back to Godhead. He doesn't know on his own. But he's telling, Atayeva Kripaya Koile. Taking mercy on him, Krishna is giving Veda Puran. That's what is the meaning of Agama Amnaya. So, how wonderful he is. He's coming as Acharya without and Paramatma within. And he is coming and giving us the knowledge. And he is enlightening us and elevating us. So wonderful. Maharana Vaya. And he is a ocean of knowledge. And what are the rivers? The six systems of philosophy are considered to be rivers. Like the Jaimini, Kannada, different great philosophers have come and given philosophy in this world, and different religions also. They all merge in that ocean because all these rivers have drawn the water from the ocean only. Krishna is the ocean of knowledge. He is not only ocean of mercy, he is also ocean of knowledge also. Agada Bodham, it is said. Agada Bodham means one whose knowledge has no limit at all. So, like that he is telling. And he is the source of Apavarga. Apavarga Parayanaya. That means all those who want to quit this material world and go back to Godhead, they all worship you, my dear Lord, he is telling. See, these are all praises or glorification given by Gajendra. Very meaningful glorification. See, as Krishna's devotees, all of us also in our lives, when we go in front of the deities, we should know how to glorify them. Actually, by praising the Lord and by remembering His glories, when we chant the holy name, it will be easy for us to appreciate the Lord's greatness and the benefits we are deriving from Him. Namo namaste akila karanaya nishkaranaya adbhutakaranaya sarvagamamnaya maharnavaya namo pavargaya parayanaya. One line is indicating one great truth about Krishna. And also these lines teach us how we can think about the Lord's gifts, what we are receiving from Him. So that by remembering of the gifts He is giving us, we can gratefully bow down to Him. Gunarinit gunarinit channa chidushmapaya takshobha visphurjitamanasaya Naishkarmya bhavena vivarjita agama Swayam prakashaya namaskaromi.
My Lord, as the fire in Arani wood is covered, you and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. Your mind, however, is not attentive to the activities of the modes of nature. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literatures. Because such advanced souls are transcendental, you personally appear in the pure minds. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Yeah. So, like in a log of wood, there is fire hidden, isn't it? You can't see it with eyes, but there is fire. How do you know? You spark, put up a spark of fire over it. Just like a matchstick, for example. It has a head, isn't it? Matchstick has a head. And it has got fire in it. How do you know? You upgrade it like this. Then immediately, that fire comes out, isn't it? Similarly, in the wood, there is fire. Similarly, Paramatma is there in our body. Our body is compared to wood. And the super soul is compared to fire. And when we awaken that fire, it will burn the wood only completely. Similarly, when we awaken our Paramatma in our heart, it will destroy the three gunas, by which it will destroy all our bad karma, good karma, everything. It will be finished and we will become pure souls and we can go back to Godhead. Like that is telling. So that is why the example is very, very fitting and appropriate, the Paramatma being fire and the metal body being wood. Because it burns the very body from in which it is present. So in the same manner, the super soul can finish off all the gunas, especially rajoguna, tamoguna, because of which we are suffering in this world. So he's saying like that. And those who are devotees, in their minds you can appear, you manifest, he says. If Lord appears in the mind of devotees, does he become material? Definitely not. You know, from Vasudeva's mind, Krishna entered into Devaki's mind. And then from Devaki's mind, he entered Devaki's Hridaya Garbha, it is said. Not the Garbha, the Hridaya Garbha, it is said. And from Hridaya Garbha, he manifested as Krishna in the jail of Kamsa. See, Lord is not born by man and woman uniting through sex and producing a baby. Lord was not born like that. He was, one day suddenly Vasudeva's face became lit up brightly because Lord entered Vasudeva's mind. And then from his mind, he entered into Devaki's mind and Devaki's heart. Then he manifested himself. He was not born like ordinary children are born. So, Lord can descend into material phenomenon if a devotee calls him. For example, the deity form of the Lord is made of marble or wood or something. But Lord is descending in that form by pranapatishta, being called by a pure devotee. Is it not? So, in the same manner, we are chanting Hare Krishna with our material tongues, isn't it? And Lord is descending in our tongue as the holy name. Why? Because when you call the Lord with love, He can descend. Similarly, you take a book, you know, that's an ordinary book, that's a spiritual book. Lord can descend as Srimad Bhagavatam in a book, which is simply some, letters printed in a material paper, isn't it? But the Lord can descend and remain spiritual even on a mundane plane. When Lord descends on a mundane plane, He doesn't become mundane. He remains spiritual. This is most important. Just like Prabhupada is a pure devotee, when he goes to hippie land, does he become polluted? Because Prabhupada went to the hippie land, does he become contaminated? Did he become one of the hippies? No. He remains uncontaminated. Similarly, the Lord also, He can descend into the material world, He says, but He remains completely pure, unaffected, He is telling. So in this way, Lord can appear in the mind of a devotee by descending in His spiritual form, in the mind of a devotee. Madrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya Swamshena sarvatanu brinmanasi pratita Pratyagdrishe bhagavate brihate namaste.
Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you are supremely liberated. Certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me. By your partial feature as Paramatma, you are situated in the hearts of all embodied beings. You are celebrated as direct transcendental knowledge and you are unlimited. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, see, Gajendra is offering all these prayers and Gajendra felt that actually I am an animal body now. Animal bodies are all in tamoguna, in mode of ignorance. And how can I offer any prayer to the Lord? And he is telling here that మాతృ ప్రపన్న పశు పాష విమోక్షణాయ. పశు మీన్స్ అనిమల్, పాష్ మీన్స్ రోప్స్. మై డియర్ లార్డ్, ఐ ఆమ్ బౌండ్ బై ద రోప్స్ ఆఫ్ అనిమల్ బాడీ. సి దిస్ ఇస్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్. శంకరాచార్య ఇన్ వన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ రైటింగ్స్ హీ సేస్, అవర్ సిచ్యువేషన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ సిమిలర్ టు దట్ ఆఫ్ గజేంద్ర. అవర్ బాడీ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో ఆల్మోస్ట్ లైక్ అనిమల్ బాడీ హీ సేస్. వై? ఆల్దో వీ ఆర్ ఇన్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ, వీ బిహేవ్ ఆర్ థింక్ లైక్ అనిమల్స్ మెనీ టైమ్స్. యాక్చువల్లీ వీ హ్యావ్ టూ నేచర్స్ ఇన్ అస్. వన్ ఈజ్ అ డివైన్ నేచర్, అనదర్ వన్ ఇస్ అనిమలిస్టిక్ నేచర్. బోత్ ఆర్ దేర్. Sometimes animalistic nature comes out. We can see that. For example, we become extremely lusty or extremely greedy, extremely angry. And we lose control and we behave in a barbaric way. After which we regret. Sorry, sorry, sorry. You may say sorry to somebody. So some people accept the sorry, some people don't accept. So sometimes because of that, people are put behind the bars, put behind the jail. Why they are put in the jail? Because if somebody behaves like an animal, they have to be put in the jail so that they cannot be allowed to act in the way they are acting. Is it not true? Now, some of us may not be put in the jail, but our actions may strip us off of some of the facilities that we might have had. For example, one may be told to pay a fine for a wrong behavior. Or sometimes one may break a relationship because of improper behavior. Isn't it? So in this world, we have a barbaric animal type of behavior, and we also have a divine type of behavior also in human body. So we have to increase the divine behavior. So Shankaracharya says that when Gajendra is caught by a crocodile, similarly we are caught by Maya. And we are also like almost like an animal struggling in this body, bound by this material body. And Vimokshanaya means, oh Lord, you are capable of liberating me from this situation. Why? Because you are Muktaya, is telling. You are liberated, so you can save me. For example, imagine one of you is tied with the hands like this with a rope. And your hands, legs, all over the body, somebody has put a rope. And one of your friend is also tied nearby, same way. Can you save him? A bound person cannot save another bound person. If you are free, then you can save. Correct, no? That's what he's telling. You know, you are a Pashupasha Vimokshanaya. Why? Because you are a Muktaya. You are standing on a liberated plane. So you can give your hand and pick us up. Like that is telling. And maybe somebody may say, Lord is liberated. But why, Lord may say, then why should I pick you up? I am already liberated. Lord may say, I am enjoying in my spiritual world, playing on my flute and dancing with, you know, gopis. I may enjoy life. Why should I pick you up? Bhuri Karunaya is telling. You have unlimited mercy upon the suffering jivas. That is why you will pick me up, he is telling. Karunaya itself means mercy. Bhuri Karunaya means, you know, why the word bhuri is used. If you are giving mercy to somebody, they are rejecting the mercy, still you go after them and give mercy. For example, sometimes a mother wants to give medicine to a child. She takes in a shank to feed the medicine to the child. But sometimes the child will take the medicine away from another hand because the child knows it's going to be bitter. You know, no, I don't want this. Then the mother is thinking that if he doesn't drink the medicine, then how will he get cured? Then she gets a lollipop in another hand, isn't it? She puts the lollipop, and the child is enjoying the lollipop. When she brings the medicine, again sometimes he throws away the medicine. The whole chunk is turned upside down, all the medicine is fallen on the ground. The mother doesn't give a slap to the child or something. The mother tolerates. Again, she fills up the medicine. Again, she goes. So this is called Bhuri Karunaya. Bhuri Karunaya means Lord is not only... you see, one boy in Calcutta asked a question to Jananivas Prabhu. He said, why is God so hard-hearted? He said. So then Prabhuji, Jananivas Prabhu asked, how do you say God is hard-hearted? Then the boy said, then why has he put me in this world, which is a place of suffering? And I am suffering so much, God doesn't pay any heed. So then Jananivas Prabhu said, you see, even when you go to the body of a pig, you know, Krishna comes with you as a super soul. Even when you go to the body of a worm, he comes with you as a super soul. And right now he is sitting in your heart as a super soul. So you wanted to do independent activities in this world and he is following you. Why should he follow you? He should have kicked you away and gone back to the spiritual world, isn't it? So is he hard-hearted? He is not hard-hearted. You are hard-hearted, Prabhuji said. Why you are hard-hearted? Because you are not paying heed to his request. Super soul want to help you. You say, hey, keep quiet. Don't disturb me. I want to go on with my nonsense. So you are hard-hearted, he said. Similarly, here he is telling, Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya. He is extremely merciful. Why is he merciful? He is giving the scriptures. He is giving the holy name. He is giving prasadam. Prasadam is one thing which nobody can deny. Isn't it? Anybody in this world can accept. Even the, like I heard abroad, when they would go for book distribution, there was one lane in which one of the shopwalas was a gunda. He used to have a very hefty body. He would yell at the devotees, you know, don't go through our lane. Stop singing. So devotees, whenever they would go across his shop, they would sing very mildly, softly. And then they would go. Earlier he was yelling at them. Later on he started beating them also. He would come and catch devotees and beat devotees had to run away while doing Harinam. Somehow or other, there was one devotee who was very bold amongst the devotees. So he used to go and give a packet of cookies. In those days, in ISKCON, they would pack two cookies in one small packet. So he would go to this shop and he would give this fellow, very, very hefty fellow, hefty and tall fellow. He would go give the cookies. That's the only thing he liked. He ate the cookies and told this devotee, bring me more. So then he allowed them to do Harinam. Because they were giving him cookies. Because if Harinam doesn't come, he won't get cookies also. So he allowed them. Then devotees would go. As the cookies went inside more and more, his mentality changed. He started waving to devotees. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. And after 1 year, he joined the temple full time. Can you imagine? So this kind of, you will find the true stories which go to show how Krishna comes in many merciful forms, even forms like prasad which nobody can deny. He comes as deity form in the temple. He comes as the holy dhams. He comes as holy rivers. He comes as holy devotees. So many ways. That's why it's called Bhuri Karunaya. See, Namo Alayaya, Prabhupada explains that Namo Alayaya in the last part of the purport. He says, read the last part of the purport. There is a line, the third line. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. Read further.
Last
para of the purport. His only aim.
His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Bhuri Karunaya Namo Alayaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated and he tries to make us liberated. But although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja.
Yeah. See, in one village, there was one family. The father was a devotee. His wife was a devotee. He was like a jamindar in the village. You know. So he had 3-4 sons. So all the sons also became devotees. But there was one last son who was some 16-18-year-old boy. He absolutely had no taste for devotional service. He would, whenever he would see his family members chanting, he would tease them. So once a Sadhu Mahatma came to that village and his father was requesting, see, in my family, my wife is devotee, my children are devotee. This last one boy, he has no interest. What to do? You preach to him in such a way that he will chant. So the Sadhu Mahatma was giving class. All the family members attended, whole village attended, and this boy was going inside a room and he was watching video inside. So the sadhu said, I will take care of him, don't worry. You send him with me to the riverside, ask him to show the river, and then I will preach to him there. So he went with Sadhu Mahatma to show the river, where the river is. And Sadhu told him, come, let's take bath. You also take bath, I will also take bath. So Sadhu caught hold of him and submerged him in the water. Of course, before doing that, I forgot to tell you one thing. Sadhu told him, just chant once. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, he said. He said, I have taken a vow in my life that I will never chant any holy name, he said. At least say Vasudeva, he said. He said, no, I cannot say. He said, that time he caught hold of him and submerged him in the river. And then this fellow was shouting, ah, ah, he was shouting. And then Sadhu said, instead of shouting, ah, you shout Vasudeva, he shouted. Then that fellow shouted, Vasudeva, he shouted. Then he left him. So this boy became shocked. He said, you Sadhu, I thought you are a skinny Sadhu, you are so strong. So he said, I thought you were going to kill me. And the Sadhu said, no, I just wanted to pull this name out of your mouth. This one name will protect you, he said. So at the time of when this boy grew up into a big man and he got married, he had children and everything, he never became devotee. But when he died, Yamadutas came. When he was taken to Yamaloka, at that time Yamaraj told him, you have done one good thing in your life. You chanted this, Vasudeva, you shouted, loudly you shouted. For which there is some special benefit that is awaiting you. So he asked them. So this man asked Yamaraj, what is the benefit of chanting Vasudeva? Yamaraj said, this is one thing even I also don't know, he said. Because if you did Punya, I can send you to heaven. If you did Pap, I can punish you in hell. But Vasudeva is neither Punya nor Pap. It is beyond. It is a divine. It's a spiritual name. He said, maybe I can consult Brahma. He has got four heads, he said. He knows more than me. So come with me. He took him to Brahma. Brahma said, when he heard this question, what is the benefit of chanting the name of Vasudeva? Brahma said, all my foreheads are reeling now. Knowing this, because this fellow has chanted a spiritual name. He said, better let's go to Shiva. He is a Panchamukhi. He has five mukhas. He has five faces. And he is also considered a great meditator. And who is a great devotee, Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Let us go to him and ask him. So when they asked Shiva said, I know little bit about it, but I am afraid to speak it because, the Shastras are so vast. And one who has chanted Lord's name, the benefits are innumerable. I am afraid to tell a minimized version of the answer. So better let us go to Lord Vishnu and ask him, who is Vasudeva. So when they took this fellow to Vishnu, Vishnu saw, there was Yamaraj, there is Brahma, there is Vishnu, everybody along with this man. And they asked Lord Vishnu, if somebody chants your name Vasudeva, what benefit he gets? Vishnu took him and kept him by his side and said, you all can go back now. This is what happens, he said. So he comes to me, I keep him with me, he said. So in this way, you will find, why I told you this story, because the sadhu was specially merciful. He showed different type of mercy, isn't it? So the Lord sends saintly persons to show mercy. Somehow or other, unknowingly, one may get mercy in one's life. He comes in various ways. Different type of ways he comes. That's why he's saying, Bhuri Karunaya, Namo Layaya. See, Namo Layaya means what? Alayaya means, Lord is never inattentive or idle. See, generally, for example, if you are preaching to somebody and they are not showing interest, we become little slack. How many of you agree? Correct, no? Why we become slack? We become little tired that he's not interested. Maybe you think, I will leave this fellow and go to somebody else. But Lord is never like that. Namo Alayaya. He never is tired. He's ready to go to any extent to bring back the living entity. Like that he's saying. That is why in South India, I had gone to this Kulashekara's village. I found a temple with three-story building. In the ground floor, the Lord was lying down. In the first floor building, the Lord was sitting. Have you seen Vishnu's sitting posture? There you will find. Sitting and like this, Shankachakra Kata. In the top floor, the Lord was standing. So I asked the pujari, what is the meaning of this? One floor, Lord is standing, one is sitting, one is... So he said, if somebody has given a debt to you, he will come to your house at the door and stand there and ask, give me back the debt. And if you don't give the debt back, what he will do? He will sit in the bench waiting for you to give the debt. If you still don't give, what he will do? He will lie down and he will not go away. So Lord is also telling, my dear child, you have come to this material world which is a jail. Please come back with me. When we don't hear him, then he sits. When you still don't hear, then he is lying in Anantashesh hoping to get us back. He was telling. So in this way, he is never tired to get us back. Namo Layaya, he says. Swamshena Sarvatanubran Manasi Pratita. Swamshena means Krishna's own Amsha, which is Paramatma, has come in this world sitting in our heart. Like that he is telling. And he is sitting as a pratyaka drishe. He is directly observing all our activities. He is watching what we are doing and he is guiding us also. And Bhagavate is the Supreme Lord. And somebody may say, oh, Lord is also in my heart. I am trapped in this body, so he is also trapped or what? He's saying, no, Brihate. No, don't think that he is trapped. He is Brihate, means he is unlimited. He cannot be trapped. A thief put inside a jail with a lock, he is trapped. Whereas this nylon, which is connecting all these beads, is inside this, but it is not trapped. It is actually holding the beads together. When you take away the nylon, it will all get scattered. Sutrimani Ganaiva, that example Krishna gives. Krishna says, I am the nylon thread which holds the universe together. If I am not there, everything will be scattered. So when Lord is inside our heart, he is keeping things in order. He is not trapped. That should be understood. When we are inside the body, we are trapped. That is why the example of Paramatma being in our body is compared to the fire within the wood. That example was given. Because fire is superior to wood. That was given. Like that he is telling. It's a beautiful verse.
आत्मात्मजाप्तगृहवित्तजनेषु शक्तैर् दुष्प्रापणाय गुणसंगविवर्जिताय मुक्तात्मभिः स्वहृदये परिभाविताय ज्ञानात्मने भगवते नम ईश्वराय.
My Lord, those who are completely freed from the material contamination always meditate upon you within the core of their hearts. You are extremely difficult to attain for those like me who are too attached to mental concoction, home, relatives, friends, money, servants, and assistants. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, uncontaminated by the modes of nature. You are the reservoir of all enlightenment, the Supreme Controller. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Yeah. He's telling Mukta Atma Bihi. See the third line he's saying. Mukta Atma Bihi means the persons who are already liberated from this world. Which means they are using their senses and mind in what? Swahirdaye Paribhavitaya. They always meditate on you who is seated in their hearts, he is telling. See, paribhavitaya word is a special word which means those persons who are liberated from this world, with great love, they remember the Lord in their own hearts. There is one verse which has this word paribhavitaya. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita. Tvam bhakti yoga. Yetutvadisaranambushakodakkoshakandam jagrantikaranavivarair shrutivatanitam bhaktyagrihitacharanaha parayachatesham napaitinatahridayam burhatsvapumsam pambhaktiyoga paribhavita hritsaroja. Correct. Aseshutekshitapato nanunatapumsam yadyadiyata urgaya vibhavayanti tattatvapuhpranayase sadanugrahaya. He's telling in this verse, Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja. Hrit saroja means the lotus-like heart of the devotee. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita. When a devotee is showing bhakti, at that time, in the lotus-like heart of the devotee, Lord says, I come and reside. Asse, he says. Asse means I come and live in the heart of my devotee. Asse, shute kshitapato nanunatapamsam. When a devotee hears about me, and develops affection for me, I come and reside in the heart of my devotee. Like that the Lord is saying. So here also he is telling, Muktatmabhi swahridaye paribhavitaya. See, how do you know the Lord is in the heart of a devotee? You will see that the devotee's behavior will change. It will not be like the ordinary persons. In this world, ordinary people are selfish, whereas a devotee will become selfless. In this world, the ordinary persons are chasing after the glitter and glamour. They want to buy different type of, you know, shoes, different type of dresses, different type of hairstyles, all kinds of cosmetics. They want to put on their face and attract the other people to them. They put all kinds of scents in the body to suppress the bad odor. In this way, people who are in bodily consciousness, when they become Krishna's devotees, you will see that instead of becoming attracted to their own bodies or becoming attracted to others' bodies, they will be attracted to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna. They are attracted to Him. So when that attraction is awakened, they will always be talking about Him. They will always be hearing about Him. They will always be remembering Him. They will orbit around Him. They will eat only Krishna Prasad. They will not eat anything that is not offered to Krishna. They won't be able to eat anything that is not offerable to Krishna also. They will not eat. Similarly, they will utilize the every moment in Krishna consciousness. That's why he is saying, Muktatma Biswahridaye Paribhavitaya. So, we study the lives of great Mahatmas. Why? Because the great Mahatmas' lives give us a clue on how the pure devotees live their life. What is their attitude? What is their consciousness? So, by seeing it, at least we develop some inspiration in our personal life also. How, what type of life they have lived. So, Prabhupada would often quote the life of the Goswamis who lived in Vrindavan, who one day, it is said, Sanatana Goswami was lying on a chill ground of Vrindavan near the Pavan Sarovar in the night, in great trance of love for Krishna. So Krishna came as a small covered boy and he massaged his feet. And when Sanatana got up, he saw this small boy. This boy said, "Oh Gosai, why do you live like this in chill Vrindavan climate? You are lying on the floor. Why didn't you make a cottage for yourself?" So Sanatana Goswami forgot to make a cottage for himself because he thought that, you know, I have so many services to do for Krishna. So in this way, this is one of the symptoms of an advanced devotee. They don't consider their comforts very important. But they consider Krishna's comfort very important. Sanatana Goswami never failed to build a beautiful temple like Madan Mohan temple for Krishna. But for personal comfort, he neglected it. Similarly, you will find Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting one day near the Radhakund. A tiger came to drink water. So immediately Krishna was standing with a stick next to the tiger so that in case the tiger attacks him, Krishna can attack the tiger. So Krishna personally came to protect him. So in this way, a devotee is not concerned about personal protection. Another day, Raghunath Das Goswami was sitting and chanting on a hot sunny day while his whole body was sweating. So we feel very discomforted by a hot sun. But Radharani came behind him and taking the end of her sari, she was offering shelter to him like an umbrella. So seeing that, Sanatana Goswami was scolding. He was telling Raghunath Das, "Why are you giving service to Radharani instead of you offering service to her?" He asked. Then Raghunath Das didn't even know what was the service I was taking from Radharani. "Please tell me." He said, "I saw Radharani standing and with the end of her sari, she was protecting you." So in this way, the heat of the sun did not, you know, stop him from meditating and chanting the Lord's names. The presence of the tiger did not pose any fear for him. You can see that. So the great devotees, their remembrance and absorption in Lord is so great, and exactly opposite of that is explained in the first line. Atmatma japta griha vitta janeshu saktair. For them, for those who are attached to their own bodies and to the bodies of relatives and friends for enjoyment. See, somebody may have a question. If a man is responsible for his wife and his children, you know, he is spending time with them, raising them, is it considered material attachment? And such people cannot attain the Supreme Lord. See, early morning you find a man getting up and taking a dog and going for a walk, walking the dog in the morning. What can he attain God? You see, his whole consciousness is absorbed in the dog, if you see. And there are many people in India also nowadays, like in America it has become very common in India also, to walk with the dog, to take the dog for a walk, and develop a very close, intimate relationship with the dog. Play with the dog, feed the dog, embrace the dog, kiss the dog, allow the dog to kiss you or lick your tongue with its, lick your cheeks with its tongue. So they are developing dog consciousness instead of God consciousness, isn't it? So in case a person is serving the dog continuously, gradually his face cut also becomes like dog. What you absorb yourself in, it becomes like that. That is why you will find if somebody is serving Vishnu, more and more and more, their face also becomes very beautiful. It reflects the beauty because they are serving a very great master. If somebody is serving the dog, their face cut becomes like dog. So they had put one picture to show how a man serving a dog for many, many years, his face cut also was, you know, like that dog's face, which means he's preparing to become dog in the next life. Is it not? In the same manner, he is telling one should be responsible for one's wife and children and family members. But in the name of being responsible, if one makes the wife the deity and is circumambulating her all the time. Similarly, one is making his own body. Nowadays, men are also going to beauty parlor. Nowadays, there is a beauty parlor for men also. He is specially making a special type of mustache, special type of beard, special type of hairstyle, special type of dresses. How can such people attain God, Gajendra is telling? Because their absorption is in matter, material enjoyment. How can they attain? So a man should maintain his family, husband, wife, children, family, for making them all Krishna conscious and taking them back to Godhead. That is the point here. Dushprapanaya gunasanga vivarjitaya is telling. Only when we are not contaminated by gunasanga, especially rajoguna and tamaguna, one should not be contaminated. Then only one can attain. Jnanatmane bhagavate nama ishwaraya. So, jnanatmane means Lord is there to enlighten anyone. And he can enlighten anybody in any walk of life. You will find that as soon as there is little sincerity, immediately Lord gives enlightenment. Like you will find there are many Matajis whose husbands are not devotees sometimes. And whose children are not devotees. They have to practice alone. So sometimes they face challenge in their home. But Krishna gives them intelligence. So when they are cooking in the kitchen, they hear some lecture, they hear some kirtan. And they serve the husband and children and they all have gone to school and company. Then they chant the holy name. After that, they chant the holy name, they read, and they develop great sincerity and they get initiated. Gradually, they bring the husband also to devotion service for a period of time. You will see that. So, the Lord is present in the heart of everybody as an enlightener. And if a devotee is sincere, wherever a devotee may be, in whatever difficulty he may be, Lord gives him intelligence. One butcher took Diksha from Srila Prabhupada. So, when he was showing the hand, Prabhupada was about to give him mala. And Prabhupada said, kill no more, Prabhupada said. And then he gave him the mala. And then he told him to wait for some time. And Prabhupada told all the devotees, do you know, he has been butchering millions of animals, thousands of animals till now. Now he has become a Hare Krishna devotee now. From today onwards, he will not kill any animal, not even an ant. Prabhupada said, he has become a devotee now. So, which means even a butcher can get that intelligence. Correct, no? To return back home, back to Godhead. If he is sincere. Krishna can give intelligence to anybody. Even a thief. There was one thief in Moscow who entered a house and he was searching for something. He couldn't get anything. Lights were all switched off. Suddenly, the house owner switched on the light, hearing some sound. So this man saw that the light is on in the other room. So he wanted to run away, escape for his life. But he wanted to pick up something and ran. So there was a big bulky volume of Bhagavad Gita. He picked it up and ran. So he went home and saw the cover page, and in the cover he saw Arjuna, you know, having bow and arrow. So the thief was very happy, because he is having bow and arrow, I think, you know, he must also be a thief like me, he thought. Because he is showing some fighting scene, so something interesting must be there inside. I will read. So when he read about the battle between Kauravas and Pandavas, he became very interested, because being a thief he was interested in fight also. So, as he read further, he didn't go for stealing. 2, 3, 4 days, his wife became very worried. She said, what happened to your regular danda, your business? You don't seem to be going. He said, it's so interesting, such an interesting book. I want to read further. I want to see what happened finally. You know, he started reading. And all his family members were thieves. But this fellow did a revolution in the family. by becoming a devotee. And all his relatives are crying that how this fellow changed by a book. So in this way, imagine if Krishna can become the enlightener of a thief and make him a devotee, why not others? That is why he is saying, Jnanatmane Bhagavate Nama Ishwaraya. Like he is telling.
Yam dharma kamartha vimukti kama pajanta ishtam gatimapnuvanti kim chashisho ratyapi deham avyayam karotu medabhradayo vimokshanam.
After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation obtain from him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life.
You see, here he is saying that dharma, artha, kama, moksha, whatever desire you may have, you can go to him, he says. You can go to the Supreme Lord. Bhajanta, ishtam, gati mapunumanti. They all will attain that gati. Just like in the Vishnu Sahasranama Sutram, it is said, Vedantago brahmanasyat kshatriyo vijayi bhavet vaishyodhana samriddhi shudro sukamabapunyat. It is said, see, the brahmanas will become expert in Vedic chanting. And the kshatriyas will get vijay, victory in the battle. And the vaishyas will get dhana samriddhi. And they will get wealth. And Shudra will get sukham for the body. Because he wants, roti kapada makan. That's what he wants. So he will get food, he will get clothing, he will get shelter. Shudro sukham avapniyat. And then it says, Vasudevashrayo martyo Vasudeva parayanaha. And those who are Krishna's devotees, they will again get to become Krishna's devotees. It says, Vasudeva ashrayo martyo. If you take shelter of Lord Vasudeva and die, what will you get in the next life? Vasudeva parayanaha. Again you will become Krishna's devotee. That's a blessing given. Because Krishna's devotee don't aspire for anything else. So they again become Krishna's devotees in the next life. Like that he says. So similarly here he says, what can Lord not give? Like one person wanted a wife. He didn't want to choose a wife on his own. He thought, I will pray to the Lord only. So he was a great devotee, Kardama. When he was meditating, when Lord Vishnu appeared, Kardama told, my dear Lord, my father Brahma wants me to procreate children. I have to fulfill the duty. I need a wife. But at the same time, I want to be renounced and attain your lotus feet as quickly as possible. And Lord Vishnu was so pleased. He said, you are depending on me for this. Are you ready to accept any wife I may give you? He said, yes. He said, third day from today, the king of the world will come and give his daughter Devahuti in marriage to you. So that marriage was personally fixed by Lord himself. So Lord is ready to provide anything that a devotee requires. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather. Lord provided Dhruva Loka, which you see in the early morning, you can see unblinking star. That is Dhruva Loka. Lord provided him. But the beauty of Lord providing anything is, if you accept it from the Lord, it is most safe, because he will purify your heart and give you whatever you need in such a way that it will not hurt you or harm you. See, generally in this world we think, if God loves me, he should give me sense gratification. We think like that, correct? No? But faith means faith in the grace of God, which may come in any way. For example, some people blame God. Why did you put me in this jail of material world? But Vasudeva and Devaki were put in a jail inside the jail. Correct, no? They were also in the jail. But they didn't blame anyone. One by one, the seven children were killed. Six children. After that, in that jail, Krishna appeared for them. Because of the devotion. Correct, no? So in this way, we should accept whatever Krishna gives us mercy. And Krishna himself came for them. Here he says that even if you have some desire, don't worry, you go to him, because Lord is famous for as Varadarshava, Varadaraj. There is nothing that he cannot provide. He can provide everything. And then here he is saying, Api deham avyayam. He can even provide a spiritual body. Why he is saying this? There is a reason for this. Gajendra initially came with a desire that may Lord help me to get rid of this crocodile. So once I am free from the crocodile, I can live with my wife elephants and children elephants and my society elephants. I can live very happily. Like that he had a plan originally. But as he went on offering prayers, his quality of prayer improved also. Now he was thinking, why should I even aspire for heaven also? I will aspire to go back to spiritual world and attain a spiritual body. Because Lord is capable of providing it. See, getting rid of crocodile can be done even by devatas also. No? But he didn't pray to any devata. I am praying to the Supreme Lord. Then why to ask for something chota mota? Let me ask something great. See, in Bhagavatam there is a story. Once a king was traveling in his golden chariot in the forest and happened to come across one old lady, you know, carrying a firewood on her shoulder. And it was so heavy, she was about to drop it down. It was very much paining for her. So the king stopped in front of her and asked, "Oh, mother, you want anything, any help from me? Today happens to be my birthday. I want to gift you something." She looked at the king and said, "Oh, long live you, king. You came at the right time. Because if this log of firewood falls on the ground, I can't pick it up. I have no strength to pick up. I am an old lady. Please help me to, you know, take it from here and keep it on this shoulder." And the king helped her. "What else you want?" king asked. She said, "Nothing else. You carry on," she said. And the king went away. Some distance he went, there was another man walking. And the king stopped in front of him and said, "My dear man, do you know I am the king of the country? And I want to gift you something. Ask me for something." And the man was like shocked. "I am meeting the king face to face in my life. I never thought I can meet." Then he thought, "King is a rich man. I am a poor man. I should ask for some riches." Then he looked at the king. The king was wearing a golden coat with a golden button. So he asked, "Can I get one of those buttons?" he asked. And the king said, "What is so great about it?" He just picked it up and gave it, "Take it." And the king asked, "Anything else you want?" The man said, "This is enough for my, you know, whole life practically. I can sell this gold and, you know, make money. This is enough. Thank you." Then the king went ahead. Then he came across another gentleman who saw the king and he glorified the king. He said, "My dear king, we are having such a Rajarishi like you in our country to be our king. You have done so much good for us. We are all very thankful to you. I never thought I can thank you in my life." So he said that, "I only want to invite you to my, you know, cottage once and feed you something. If you can come, I'll be very thankful to you." And he gave his address to the king. "Please come." Yeah. So the king went back to his palace and told the ministers that he came across a man who never asked for anything, who simply wanted to just feed the king. So then the king and the ministers were ready to go. And the king asked the ministers, "Just check this address of this man. Where is it?" Then the ministers told that he's a very, very poor man living in a thatched cottage in a village. And the king thought, "And how can I go to such a thatched cottage, simple place?" King told the ministers, "Immediately arrange for building a beautiful bungalow for that man." A beautiful big bungalow was made. And the king said, "If I have to go to that village, there are so many mountains and so many rivers. Make a very nice road pathway for me to go." Then they demolished many things and made a beautiful road leading to that person's house, you know. So then the king visited his house and ate the food cooked by this man, and they became such good friends. King told, "Why do you live here alone? Such a good friend of mine, you come and stay with me in the palace." So he took him. See, this is true even in this world. We invited the President of India to open this hall. At that time, this tar road was not made. You know, when we invited the President of India, President said, "How can I go to a place where there is no road access?" Immediately he told the Pune authorities, you know, municipality and other people, "You know, get the road made. One MLA made it free for us. This road was made free of cost for us." So if it can happen in our practical life, why can't it happen with Krishna, you see? So just as Krishna made the house of Sudama very beautiful, isn't it? So in this story, as you understand, this old woman wasn't so intelligent, isn't it? Or the other man who wanted a golden button. Similarly, people go to God and ask for some small things. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. There is dharma kami, artha kami, kama kami, moksha kami, we say. So these people are not considered very great. But Lord still gives them, if they go to Him also. But He says, apideham avyayam, you can give me spiritual body. Why will I ask for something smaller from you? Imagine I go to Tata and Bill and ask for 10 paisa. Why will I ask? If I'm going to a big man, according to the man's ability to give, I should ask for something worthy. So He says, give me a spiritual body, my Lord. I would love to be with you in the eternal spiritual sky of Vaikuntha. So, like that He is praying. Although you can give umokshanam, this body. Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham. Vanchanti yevai bhagavat prapannaha. Atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam. Gayanta ananda samudramagnaha. Tamaksharam brahma paramparesha. Avyaktam adhyatmika yoga gamyam. Atindriyam sukshmavivati duram. Anantamadhyam paripurnamide. See, ekantino yasyana kanchanartham. My dear Lord, you are worshipped by ekanta bhaktas. Na kanchanartham, who desire nothing from you except your love. I really admire those devotees who simply want to love you and serve you, and they do not want anything else from you. Na kanchanartham. They are called as nishkinchana bhaktas. Or akinchana bhaktas. You see, in our life also, you will see that when somebody has a loving relation with you, that experience is a very sweet experience. Like for example, students stay in hostel, but when they go home to meet their mother and father, there is extra pleasure, extra joy they get. I heard that the students make a ticket to their native place on the same day of the last exam. See, exam ends at 5 o'clock, they have a train at 6 o'clock. And why are they so much eager to return home? Because they know I will meet my mother, I can meet my father, I can throw away my clothes for them to wash. Isn't it? And I don't have to eat the mess food where they give damalu. Isn't it? Damalu. And I can eat very nice. My mother will cook items which I like very much. And 1 or 2 months I have vacation at home. See, you can imagine if this home is so enjoyable, how much more the spiritual world must be enjoyable. It's a permanent home. This is a temporary home. But even in this temporary home, because your mother serves you lovingly without any material expectation from you, and that is why this relationship is a very sweet relationship. Even with brother, sister, everybody in a family, especially blood relationships, you find a kind of intimacy which you don't find with everybody else in this world. Correct, no? That is especially because, you know, there is a eagerness within a family to do help for one another without expecting anything. For example, if there is an elder brother and younger brother, the elder brother will help the younger brother to get into IIT or NIT. Similarly, once a boy has passed out, all the members of the family try to help somebody within a family to get a job. Isn't it? So everybody wants to selflessly serve. So this selfless service is so soothing. And also, if you have a friend who comes to you and speaks to you sweetly, helps you, serves you, but doesn't expect anything from you, which is very rare in this world. In this world, people strike relationship only with some expectation, some motive. Somebody praises you and then tells you, hey, can you please give me 10,000 rupees, I'll give you in 2 months. So that is not a very sweet relationship with motivation. So here you find he's talking about ekanta bhaktas. These ekanta bhaktas are bhaktas who are in love with Krishna. Because they are in love, vanchanti. What they vanchanti? Nakanchanartham. They do not expect anything from Him in return. This is the real platform. What is that verse? Anya bilashita. Yeah, like that He says. So that type of bhaktas. He is admiring those bhaktas. He is telling, Bhagavat prapannaha. Those who surrendered to you. Completely. ati adbhutam tacharitam sumangalam. What do they do? What if you say that they don't expect anything from you, then what do they do? Gayanta, they always sing your Krishna katha. Sumangalam, which is most auspicious. Ati adbhutam, which is simply wonderful. Very wonderful. We earlier also explained why Krishna's activities are wonderful. Actually, the Shastras call Krishna's activities as wonderful because Lord can do many things in one stroke. That's one reason it's called wonderful. And another reason is the Lord's activities are mysterious in this world for common people. How he is doing, what he is doing, nobody can understand. For example, you know, when Kaliya came on the Yamuna, you know, anybody would think that somebody has to fight it out with Kaliya and drive him out, correct, no? Imagine if Krishna came with some bows and arrows and he sent several arrows and pierced the body of Kaliya and killed him. Then all the coward men pulled out the Kaliya out of Yamuna and they burned his body. And then in this way Kaliya was out. Then there would be nothing adbhutam. This is not a very great thing, which anybody would do in this world. When you see a snake, how many of you dance on the hood of the snake? If you can do, that would be adbhutam. And that's what he did, Krishna. When he saw his coward friends dead in the bank of Yamuna, when he saw the Yamuna completely polluted with the poison of Kaliya, and when he saw the Kaliya residing inside the waters, Krishna was thinking, what can I do that will please many people? So he climbed up on the top of the Kadamba tree and slapping his arms and tying a cloth around his waist like a belt, he jumped into the waters. So the jumping into water itself is adbhutam because nobody would dare to jump into a water where there is a huge snake with thousands of hoods, isn't it? And when Kaliya saw him, who is that fellow who is, you know, with his hands and legs slashing the waters and making noise? Krishna was beating the waters. The sound was coming, beating the water sound. And Kaliya came out and looked at Krishna. This was a small blue boy with a peacock feather, an innocent looking face and tender body like butter. How this small tender baby is floating in my water and he's splashing the water with his hands and legs. For a few moments, Kaliya admired the beautiful form of Krishna. Then the envy came out again. He said, how dare he entered my territory? Now I'll bite him now. So he looked at him with his bloodshot eyes and went to him to bite his chest. Despite his biting, nothing happened to Krishna. That's another wonder, isn't it? And then Krishna went round and round, and Kaliya was also moving his head like this, and he became dizzy. Sometimes when you stand on the ground and when you rotate like this, then when you stop, then the whole world seems to be rotating around you, isn't it? So Kaliya also felt like that. Then he climbed on the hoods of Kaliya and started dancing very beautifully, you see. So he is dancing on the multi-hooded snake's head is a wonder. And then he is subduing Kaliya and sending him out of the river. Alive, he didn't kill him. He sent him alive, that's another wonder. Without killing him, he sent him back. He cleansed the polluted waters of Yamuna simply by his touch of his lotus feet. Isn't it? He glanced at the covered boys and saved all of them. Isn't it? And then he made his devotees like Yashoda and Nanda and covered men and covered boys, and even the cows and calves are crying streams of tears, feeling separation from him, and he increased their love for him, isn't it? So he says that Gayanta Ananda Samudra Magna, your pure devotees sing such pastimes, which are Ati Adbhutam Tat Charitam. What is that verse? The Shaunakada rishis are singing a verse to Suta Goswami. They are saying in one of the verses, there are two verses, similar verses. Mahatma Maikanta Parayanasya Nantam Gunanam Agunasya Jagmur Yogeshwaraye Padapadma Mukhya. That's the first verse. The second verse they are saying, Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Pradano Mahatma Maikanta Parayanasya Hare Hare Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. What is the last line? Hare Rudaram Charitam Vishuddham. The first line says, Tanno Bhavan Vai Bhagavat Pradano. You are a Bhagavat Pradhan, pure devotee. And you are Mahatma Mahatma Ekanta Parayanasya. Same thing. You are a Mahatma Ekanta Parayana. You know, he says, Sudha Goswami, you have adopted a path of Krishna consciousness, which is a path of Ekanta Bhakti, one-pointed Bhakti to Lord Krishna. Your only business is giving Krishna, receiving Krishna, and distributing Krishna. Mahatma Ekanta Parayanasya. And then they are saying, Hare Udaram Charitam Vishuddham. Same thing is saying. Your charitam is sumangalam. Hare Rudaram Charitam Vishuddham. And then Shushushatam no Vidano to Vidvan. They are saying, You are Bhagavat Pradhan and we are Shushushatam. Which means we are very eager to hear and you are very eager to distribute. So we are a good match made for each other. They are saying, you know, you are Bhagavat Pradhan, you want to distribute Krishna Katha. And we are very eager to hear. And Lord Hari's charitam is very udaram and vishuddham. It's very pure, mangalam. Why it is mangalam? By hearing Krishna Katha, all the papa karma bees in our heart will be destroyed by hearing Krishna Katha. That's why it's called sumangalam. Harikatha actually cleanses our heart because it increases our continued remembrance of Lord Hari. And then he's saying, Tamaksharam Brahma Parampare Paraisha Avyaktamadhyatmika Yoga Gamyam Atindriyam Sukshma Iva Atiduram. That's what I was telling you before. You appear to be Duram or Atiduram, but Iva means you appear like you are far away, but you are very near. Sukshmam, you appear to be very subtle, difficult to capture. But it is possible by bhakti, ekanta bhaktas can capture you. Although you are beyond our senses, you are anantam, you are adhyam, you are unlimited, you are the original cause of everything, and you are paripurnam. I offer my namaskar to you. And he is saying that as I pray to the Supreme Lord, who is eternally existing, who is invisible, who is the Lord of all great personalities, such as Brahma, and who is available only by transcendental bhakti yoga. Being extremely subtle, he is beyond the reach of my senses and transcendental to all external realization. He is unlimited. So in this way, he is telling all the attributes of the Lord. That, my dear Lord, you are one, but you multiply into many avatars. You are ananta. Advaitam achyutam anadim ananta rupam. And not only that, these forms are all non-different also. You may appear as Vishnu, you may appear as Ram. For example, you speak to Ram and Krishna will also know what you spoke to Ram. Or you speak to Krishna, Ram also will know what you spoke to Krishna. That is the meaning of Advaitam. Correct, no? Advaitam. Advaitam means all the forms are non-dual. It's one. Unfortunately, we don't have such experience in our life. You can't expand into two forms. One form is Brahmachari, one form into Homan became Grihastha. You can't do like that. So Lord can multiply himself into multiple forms like that. He has that ability. So he's calling him as Anantam. Why is he calling him as subtle? Because what is the subtlest thing, do you know, in this world? Ashcharyavat pashyati kashchidenam Ashcharyavat patati tataiva chanya Ashcharyavakchainam anyashunoti Shutva epina Vedana Kaschit, like that Krishna is telling. What is that? Soul. Soul is the subtlest thing. It's beyond the eight elements. Correct? No, Bhumi, Rapa, Analava, you come, Mana, Buddhir, Ahankar. Beyond that is soul. But Krishna is super soul, which is subtler than soul also. So that is why he's calling him as a Sukshmam. He's calling. And you are Atiduram. You are Anantam. You are Adhyam. And your Avyaktam means what? Please repeat this verse. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagad avyakta murtina. See, you are avyakta murti means what? Your form is there, but it is unmanifest from our eyes. For example, Radhishyam is sitting here. Now it's avyaktam. Now when you remove, then avyaktam. Correct, no? This is avyaktam. That's why he's saying avyakta murtina. Murti means you have a form. But you are avyakta. Right now you are avyakta. We can't access you. For example, right now here also Lord is present, but we can't see him. That's why it's called as avyakta murtina. Here also he is using that word avyakta. You are not easily avyakta. But by bhakti, the avyakta murtina becomes vyaktim. He becomes manifested. So we will stop here. What is the verse number? Ekantino is a kanchanartham. What is that verse? 20-21? Okay. No, I finished both. Ekantino yes, nakanchanartham. 20-21 is over now. So 22 we are supposed to begin next time. Next time this chapter will be over. Next time. And then we will finish this chapter next time. Prayers of Gajendra will get over. And one more week, one more class we will take to talk about Gajendra returning to spiritual world. Because then the Purva Janma will come also. So in two more classes we will complete the Gajendra Moksha. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gajendra ki jai. Recently I went to this place, just yesterday, day before yesterday, there is a place called Kutralam in South India, close to Trinalveli. There is a place where Agastya lives. So where the Indradumna Raja meditated in, such kind of place is there also. Then there is a waterfall there which comes, called Agastya waterfalls. That water comes so forcefully, it carries all the jadi buti, medicinal herbs and all mixed with that. In that water, you know, it will fall like beating on your head if you take bath. They say all your diseases will be cured. And most importantly, you will get the Agastya's dust off his feet also. Because Agastya is sitting at the top. It takes 4-5 hours to go up. I couldn't go. So I prayed from the bottom only. So that pastime we will recite when we go to the Gajendra returns to spiritual. In that chapter, it's more elaborately given about Agastya and Indradumna Raja. We'll talk about it later. So, but next week we'll complete, next class we'll complete the Gajendra Moksha prayers. Shri Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.
So let us thank His Grace Radhasham Prabhu by 3 times loudly chanting Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. So the next Krishna Rasayanam will be on 10th April. 10th April Sunday, same timing. Morning we'll have, as Prabhuji said, the same topic will be continued. And in afternoon, we have a new topic starting from today, Hindi. 6 reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, please kindly come in big numbers. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, we wanted volunteers who are regularly coming for this program in order to assist our Dinbandhu Chetrapur to make it happen, just the spreading of the daris and all. Previously, we had his Ghanshyamanand Prabhu also helping him. Now he has shifted to Calcutta Temple. So we wanted some volunteers who are able to commit themselves to regularly serve in the English or the Hindi one, because both the teams may be exclusive because they may be coming for one. So are there some devotees who can help in this regard? It's a once a month wala. Okay, Yogesh Shavade Prabhu. Please, you can come forward and we'll note down your names with Prabhu. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. So you can be for the English team, and for the Hindi we'll take it the afternoon. Thank you.